times. Okay, guys, this is the last day of our fall semester for our series on Living Hope. It's our ninth week. And so I would encourage you during the break, we'll be back sometime in January to be announced. We'll send you out an email to let you know for sure what that date is. It's pending several things. And I hope you'll use all eight of the lessons in today's lesson, the ninth one, over the break, because I think it's going to be time to practice. Holidays are always good for practicing, aren't they? So I wanted to remind us that last week we looked at the prophet Zechariah. We looked at chapter 9. We talked about being prisoners of hope. And we said we learned four things. I'm sure there's plenty more we could learn. That we want to rejoice in hope. That's one of the reasons we sing about the promises of God and about the principles of God. It's so that we can rejoice and find joy in those places while we're waiting. Because hope is about waiting. You know, that's intrinsic in the very fabric of waiting and hope, isn't it? Hope is the anticipation of the goodness of God. So that always means that we're going to be waiting. And there's never any of life. I mean, you know, there's never any time that we know everything, is there? There's always going to be an unknown in life as long as we're here. So we'll always get to practice hope. And so that's why it's such a great principle to study and understand. We talked about releasing the prisoners, and I've given you a whole two-page tool and technique that you can put in your binder about forgiveness, what it is and what it isn't. You know, we said that failing to forgive others holds us prisoner. So if we keep captives, if we take people prisoners to our offenses and to our judgments and our criticisms, we're holding them as prisoners, and we're holding ourselves prisoners to unforgiveness, because it blocks the flow of God's love, which is really not a very fun way to live, and nor is it very powerful, and furthermore, it doesn't glorify God, does it? So we want to make sure that we're dealing with unforgiveness, and that's something we always, always want to be asking, Lord, is there anyone I need to forgive? I ask that pretty much every day, and pretty much every day I get to practice forgiveness. And then we talked about residing in hope, and I don't know if I did a very good job of communicating this, but basically it's talking about abiding in relationship with the three parts of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and just abiding in the truths that he's spoken about who he is and his character, staying close to him. When your emotions, when your circumstances are not, they don't look hopeful, they don't look good, the best and safest place to be is near to God. And James 4:8 promises that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. And so we want to take advantage of that. And then we talked about resting in the promises of God. Every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ, it says in Ephesians 1:3. So we can always go to him believing without begging, but to say, Lord, I know, like we gave the example last week of Romans 5:5, I know I have the love of God in my heart because I know I have the Holy Spirit in my heart because your word tells me so. And so, Lord, I'm going to count on you. I don't have it in my flesh to love. My flesh does selfish kind of loving, but your Holy Spirit does that agape loving. That's so beautiful, selfless kind of love. And so we want to abide and rest in that and say, and just trust that God is going to produce that in us that he's planted in us. And we're going to talk a little bit about harvest today. So let me move then to the very next thing that happens in the book of Zechariah. It's kind of a fun story. I've been dying to tell this all semester. And the Lord just kind of woke me up one Saturday morning, and it was raining, and I thought it reminded me of this word in Zechariah 10:1. It's just a one verse kind of a principle, but it's an interesting one. It says in Zechariah 10:1, ask the Lord for rain in the season of the late spring rains, the Lord who causes thunderstorms, and he will give everyone showers of rain and green growth in the field. So I read this verse. I had been studying on Zechariah 9, and I kept reading into Zechariah 10. And for whatever reason, you know, we talked about how God speaks personally to us, and sometimes he'll light something up. Well, the day I read this, I mean, it just like lit up. I thought, that's kind of odd that God would ask us to pray for rain in the time of rain. This was back, actually, I think it was in February, and I started this every week in my small group. I'd say, y'all, I'm just still on this pray for rain in the time of rain. I'm still on this, and I was applying it to every single topic. I was applying it to my mom. I was applying it to my kids. I was applying it to my marriage. I was applying it to my ministry. I was applying it to my health, to my finances, to my job. And basically what excited me about this verse, I'm getting some, like, very curious stares about, Kathy, why did you get excited about that? Because what I believe God was saying was this: take note of what season it is. Take note of where I'm working. Take note of what's happening in your life. Notice the themes and the threads that I'm bringing. What are the repetition? What are the things that every time you turn around, every time you turn on the radio, or every time you open a devotional, or every time you sit down for a sermon, and all of a sudden there it is again? What season is it? Or what has God, if you look back over the last year and a half or two, what are some of the things that seem to be the consistent thing that maybe God's knocking on the door of your heart that he wants to go to work in? And a lot of times we can know that by our emotions, by our circumstances, and then, like I said, just maybe what the message tends to be. Just you think, well, there's that again. Wonder what that's about. So I kind of excited about praying for rain in the time of rain, because what it says is happens here is what we see throughout Scripture. We see the principle of sowing and reaping. You see it in the Psalms. You see it way back in the first five books of the Old Testament. You see it in the Psalms. You see it in Galatians. God talks about, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in good season you will sow. Oh, you will reap what you've sown if you don't grow weary. So this is a biblical principle. It's an earthly principle too. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. And so we want to join God in whatever he's growing. So if he's weeding, if he's planting, if he's tilling up fallow ground, if he's nourishing plants with water, if it's time to get the combine or whatever it is that it's a harvest, when it's time to get that sickle out, you know, and start chopping that wheat down, we want to join in there too, don't we? So we want to pay attention. And it may be a different season in each area of your life. So that's more reason to pay attention to what God's doing and join him in that work. You know, sometimes I mentioned one of the things that Darby told us in her testimony about marriage was, again, about those emotions and that emotional health. Sometimes it's really difficult to acknowledge our emotions. We don't want to say the negative ones out loud. We need a safe place to do that. We need to have not only a safe place to do that, but we need a trustworthy person to do that with, or a group of people. That's what we really hope to be here in this community of women, and that's to be people that we know that when we say, I am so mad, or I'm so sad, or I'm so disappointed, we want to know that at the end of the day that we have a place to be heard, first of all, that it's a legitimate thing. Our emotions are legitimate, God-given things. And then at the end of the day that we can trust the person that's sitting around that circle with us to say, but God. You know, not to rush to that place, but to give us time and space to grow into the truth of, well, I know, but, you know, but God, there's hope. There's hope. So this is the hope that we have, is to trust that God's going to do that. Jesus sets the example of prayer, y'all. He's the person that we see going out early in the morning, and he did nothing without his Father's. He said nothing without hearing it from the Father, and he did nothing on his own initiative. The Scripture tells us several times in the book of John. And he exhorts us to pray, and to do it with one another. And I know y'all have heard this verse so many times. I like the way the Message said it. So here's the exhortation to read here at the bottom of your page, Matthew 18:19. In the Message, it says, when two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. Can't you see God doing that? I love to think about him pulling up his skirts, you know, and running, like he did in Luke to the prodigal. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. Isn't that a sweet promise? And then I wanted to read one more promise, and this is kind of in the area of emotions and talking about this thing of rain and harvest. This has been a favorite of mine for years. In fact, I had it engraved on Kleenex boxes. Does anybody still have one of those back on the back row? Somebody, anybody have one? I've still got one. Kleenex boxes that hold those little tissues, you know, that you keep in your purse. And it's a Psalm 126, 5 and 6, and this is the New American Standard. It says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." Is that not the sweetest thing? That's the truth, y'all. Do you believe that? Sometimes we sow for a long season, but just think about each one of those tears God keeps in a bottle. And so we can be sure that he doesn't miss a one of them and that he will bring a harvest from them. And I'm going to make this the female pronoun, if you guys don't mind giving me that liberty. In verse 6, it says, "She who goes to and fro weeping, carrying her bag of seed, shall indeed come again with shouts of joy, bringing her sheaves with her." So we probably should have sang bringing in the sheaves today, but we didn't, and maybe next time. But anyway, I'm going to give you a brief testimony about this, and I think I can say it in the 3 minutes I have remaining. Okay, so I told you about my getting all excited about Zechariah 10:1, pray for rain in the time of rain. And so everywhere I went, I was just, it was like, okay, so it's February of 2017. And so I couldn't not remember pray for rain in the time of rain, because, y'all, I went back last night and looked up the precipitation records for the state of Alabama for 2017 for every single month since February. And I want you to know that we surpassed the record, the average rainfall every single time by, like, multiples. In fact, drum roll, in the month of June, we had a record-breaking rainfall amount in the city of Birmingham in all the history of mankind. And, y'all, I personally felt responsible for this. I kind of started feeling bad when we started having hurricanes and all this deluge of water. I started thinking, oh, Lord, I didn't want you rain that much, you know. But I just figured, yeah, you know, God's sovereign over all this. But, I mean, really, it was like every time, it was like every day. And I would get tickled every time it would rain, because it would just be my reminder to pray. Rain, 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 rain. And it would be still raining. And I just thought, God, you must be up to something big. And I personally believe that our new situation at Covenant is one of the answers to that. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not taking personal responsibility for it. I'm just saying, I think we're in a season of harvest at Covenant of a lot of prayers that have gone on for a long, long time. My mom and I have been praying for revival at this church since 1990-something. I can't remember what year that was. But anyway, we've prayed for revival. Bill Hay, the first pastor of this church, asked me to pray for revival for Covenant, and I said, wow. Okay. I didn't see that one coming when I asked him, what could I pray for you, Bill? And he said, would you pray that Covenant would undergo a revival? And I said, you got it, buddy. And I got on the phone, and I called my mother, and she said, we'll team up on this. And so we've been praying, and I believe we may be in that season. More to come on that, to be continued on that front. But anyway, I wanted to share with you just a little, tiny example of how this played out in my own life. At the end of each year of ministry, or the end of each semester of ministry, these leaders are fabulous, these group leaders, y'all. They spend so much time behind the scenes. And we always have, on Tuesdays, are really focused on y'all. Not we come to learn and grow too, but I want to have a time where each one of them can have an extended time of prayer, and we can pray for one another, and that includes me. I want my part too, you know, because that's, I believe that so much happens in prayer. That's where the action happens. And so we had a prayer time in May, which was like big time rain time. And so I was in a really great place that day. I was just kind of thinking, well, I don't have any emotions that are really, like, stirred up right now. My circumstances are pretty good. I mean, I always, always, always know that there's always more, and I always ask for more. But I really didn't have a perceived need that day, y'all. And so I had been to some little event, and I left it feeling kind of weird. And that was the only thing I could think back to, and I really wasn't sure why, but I hadn't had time to think about it. So we sat down, and when it got to be my turn for prayer that day, one of the leaders, all of them, y'all, are little fireballs, prayer warriors, listen to the Holy Spirit, just amazing, amazing intercessors. So one of these young women that we are in this leadership group said, "Now, Kathy, can you get in touch with anything that, you know, like maybe an emotion or something?" I said, "Well, the only thing I can think about is that weird meeting. I'm not sure why it was weird." And so patiently, I'm talking about this took me probably 5 or 6 minutes to finally get to this place. And I mean, she was just so patient. She said, "Kathy, I think there may be something I'm just sensing. I hate to just keep drawing it out. I hate to just keep trying. I'm not trying to force you." And please know that every prayer that's prayed, I want you guys to be in agreement with. If somebody's praying something for you, I always ask, "Is that cool?" But anyway, she said, "Kathy, I don't know, but I think there may be something you're holding back. Is there something you may need to release to the Lord?" And so I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. I don't know what it is right this second, but I'm sure it is. And so I sat there, and in my mind, I pictured like me on one side of the table and Jesus on the other side of the table. And I was just going to see what was in my little knapsack that I could give to Jesus. And I gave a few little minor things that came to mind. I mean, nothing's minor if you're holding on to it and keeping Jesus' hands off of it. But I was putting down some things that were pretty easy to put down. And then all of a sudden, I pulled out of my backpack a gun. And I kind of went, I mean, it was like it scared me. And it was like, I'm putting a gun on the table. And it made me think about the smoking gun. Do y'all remember from the Watergate days? You know, like our emotions usually are the smoking gun, or a stronghold is something that's a stuck place that's the smoking gun that we want to uncover. Well, sometimes those are more obvious than others. But anyway, I put this gun on the table and I'm going, "Lord." Yeah, it was just I didn't have a real gun, but in my mind, this, I didn't pull it out of my backpack. I pulled it out of my mental knapsack in my mind. No, it was a, thank you for saying that. No, I'm in this little picture in my mind because I'm a real visual person. I can remember something that I see way better. So I'm in my mind, and the Bible talks about meditation. One of the things we use, it can be translated imagination. So I feel like that's a biblical concept if you look up that word. So in my mind, I'm seeing this gun, I'm putting it on the table, and I'm thinking the word anger. Oh, I think I'm angry about something. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought to my mind a memory that happened like 5 years ago that Bob did. And Bob didn't even do it. What he showed me was that I had believed the lie that Bob was to blame for something that was hurtful in my life. I asked him for permission to tell this story, by the way, last night, and he goes, "I don't care. I don't know why y'all do all that touchy-feely stuff, but if you want to tell it, that's fine with me." And I said, "Okay, well, I'm telling it, buddy." So anyway, I put this imaginary gun on the table, and I just went, "Oh, I know what it is." You know, because I'm thinking, I can't believe this. I felt like I was in the best. We had made the most growth and progress in our marriage in the last year previous to that than we ever had in our entire relationship. So it was really sweet of the Lord, though, I thought, to have me. He did not want to stop at anything less than purity of heart. He wanted there to be nothing between us. And y'all, what was amazing is when I was able to voice the lie that I'd believed, I was able to, and y'all, I will say, I cried. I sowed some tears that day. I cried. It was like a hairball coming out. I mean, it was like, you know, like, have y'all seen Stranger Things and those things that come out and it's like, you know, all this poison. A lot of poison came up with that hairball. And I was able to just emote that, the hurt. And then I was able to go, "God, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Please, I forgive Bob for this perceived wrong that he didn't really even do anything wrong. And I ask you to forgive me for my unforgiveness. And then I want to surrender this hard thing to you and trust that, Lord, you say all things work together for my good and your glory. So I'm just going to release it to you, trusting that there's purpose in that." And can I just say that I walked out of there 5 pounds lighter that day? So sometimes we go thinking, I don't know, oh, I'm not sure I need prayer. But I would just say, you know, there's always, always more. And I wanted to close with this passage from Revelation chapter 3, and this is from the New Living. And I'm reading, starting in verse 14, and then we'll close. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed for your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. And that was the reason I wanted to read that passage, because so often our emotions are either shut down or stuffed, and we get numb and we don't feel them anymore. So look, I stand at the door, Jesus says. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So with that, I would just ask you to take a look at the three handouts you have today. Use any of the suggestions for the meditation time that might maybe prompt you to think about what you want to bring to prayer and choose one thing. And then we'll see you in the prayer room. And let me just close with a quick prayer. Father, thank you that you are the God who does tell us that you're the God who reveals things that are hidden in darkness and it uncovers the motives of our hearts. So, Lord, we ask you to search us, O Lord, and know our hearts, to try us and to know our anxious thoughts and to see if there be any offensive way in us. And, Lord, lead us in the way everlasting. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.